Got it. Perfect. Thank you. All right. I'd like to call the April 12th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I get approval of minutes from March 8th and March 16th regular meetings?
I'll move it.
Second. Second. Brian. Second. Thank you. All those, can't hear you, Brian, but I'm assuming.
Do we have a quorum?
We do.
Now we do. I didn't think we had a quorum yet. All right. 1, 2, 3. 4. Okay, now we do. All right. Sorry.
Thank you. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right. Resolution number 11, requesting enactment of Senate Assembly Bill for special law related to hotel motel occupancy tax. Can I have a motion to postpone this to next week?
So moved.
Second. Somebody want a second? Okay.
I'll second the postponement.
I heard legislator wrong, but I didn't. Oh, there he is. Okay. All right, second. All right, any discussion? All those in favor on postponing?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, so here. Resolution 96, this is an ARPA, amending 2022-2027 capital improvement program. Many capital projects for project Ghost County Recovery and Resilience Projects. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Chair Bartel, second. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 154, authorizing the chair to execute a payment of the taxes with SG Pioneer PV LLC for solar systems. Can I have a motion? Motion, Chair Bartel, second.
I'll second.
Second, Cahill, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Let's see, 159 to 166 are going to be ARPA resolutions. Resolution 159, establishing the County Land Bank Development Corporation. Is that a motion? So Chair Bartel, second.
Second.
Second, Fabiano, discussion?
I just want to say that this is related to an ARPA resolution, but in itself, it's not. This is we've talked about it a lot. It was in economic development for several months last year. This is the first step toward our land bank application, and that is seating the board. So, and establishing. So again, thank you all for your patience in getting it here.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 160, dedicating ARPA funding for the County Land Bank Development Corporation. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel, second.
I'll second.
Second, Cahill, discussion? Although, Chair Bartel?
Well, I just want to say again, so this will come before the committee again should we get the approval at the state level, a contract would come before the committee before final approval, but this is certainly going to strengthen our application at the state level.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. 162, amending the 2022-2027 capital improvement program for Grady Park construction. Have a motion? Motion, Chair Cahill, second.
I'll second it.
Second, Fabiano, discussion? Chair Bartels?
So we have the scores from the ARPA committee. This went to the ARP committee along with all the other projects. And for all of these, the scores are in this packet. It did go to Public Works. I wasn't at the Public Works committee. You know, I think that this is a worthy project, although I'm feeling uncomfortable at the moment about using ARP funds for it. I would like to have a conversation in caucus. I don't know where everybody else in this committee is on this one, but I've heard very little bit about this project thus far.
Thank you. In the Public Works Committee, we were concerned that this project might not be shovel ready and therefore might not be the best project for ARPA funding, and the sponsors were agreeable to that. So that's the reason it didn't, don't think this passed out of Public Works.
I can't hear you, Chair Gavars, but I think you're saying
can
I
can.
Now I can.
Okay. Yeah, so,
thank you. So I think it did pass out of Public Works. It got a very low score. I don't know if Amber has the score from the ARP committee. Maybe we could ask Amber for the score for the ARP committee. One of my concerns is that it's a very narrow focus in terms of one local park. I know it does have connectivity to the rails, but again, it didn't. I don't believe it scored very high from the ARP committee. So can I, through the chair, yeah, ask Amber?
Amber, you have that?
Yep. Just give me 1 second to pull it up, if you don't mind.
All right. I'll go to Lieutenant Maloney first and then come back to you.
Yeah, I just think that, I mean, I like the project. I'd like to see that kind of project in a lot of towns. You know, we just did a water sewer kind of approach that allows all the towns to kind of come and have an equal opportunity. I think if other towns knew that you could have got some park work done this way, I think everyone would have fired one off. This seems like a first come, first serve, that kind of no one else was thinking of this and kind of just slipped through some of these. I was surprised it didn't get postponed or put off in some of the committees. I like the idea of the project, but I think that I agree with postponing and talking about a process to make sure every municipality would have the same opportunity to use ARPA funds in this way, if that's what we want to do. But there hasn't been a lot of real discussion about this.
Okay, Brady. This project scored a 3.2 out of 12 for goals and mission, which is 27%. An 8.8 out of 36 for equity distribution, which is 24%. 10.2 out of 37 for community impact, which is 28%. And 2.6 out of 15 for financial management, which is 17%, for an overall total of 24.8 out of 100, or 25%.
Legislator Nolan?
Yes, I think I misspoke on this project. I was confusing it with another project from the same sponsor. So thank you for letting me correct that.
Any other discussion? The chair ever tells us, is your desire to postpone this, or?
I'll move to postpone it.
Right, Mariano, second.
Cahill. I'll second, yep.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. That's been postponed. Thank you. 163, establishing capital project 631, geothermal system for Silver Garden Senior Housing Development. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Move it. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. I'll second. Discussion?
So just want to clear up. So this 600,000 will be sent over to RUBCO to administer the geothermal heating system for this project. Is that correct?
Minister?
Chris, go ahead.
Yes, that is correct. So it's for the installation. I believe the estimate is about $1.1 million on the full system. And this will be in support of 57 units of senior housing. I think 19 of them, of which are supportive for chronically homeless, supported by ESHI.
And can I ask how this scored on the ARPA fund, please? Thank you.
I'll go ahead and go back, Amber.
Thanks.
I'm echoing. So this project scored an 8.8 out of 12 for goals and mission, which is 73%, a 30.4 out of 36 for equity distribution, which is 84%, a 25 out of 37 for community impact, which is 68%, and an 8 out of 15 for financial management, which is 53%, for an overall score of 72.2 out of 100, which is 72%.
Good.
One more quick question about that. How does that rank with some of the other ARPA scores that we have that are requesting funding as we start now, distributing that funding? Does
70s are the highest I think I've seen. I'm not sure that any other projects have exceeded 78, I want to say, about so that.
This is right up there then. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank
just,
you.
Yeah. One point of clarity, if I may, Chairman.
I'd love to hear Mark to go first, and then we'll jump back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As mentioned, the other committee, there was discussion, and I realize it's relatively technical, but about either a recapture clause or a seller's note, and I know that Nate Litwin from the ARPA team proposed some of that language. I just want to through the chair of the committee to Deputy Executive Kelly, I just want to make sure that before next week when we vote on it, that we're able to distribute language or what that's going to look like to everyone so that there's the confidence in that. And again, that's with the understanding, Mr. O'Connor, the last meeting, you know, confirmed that, you know, the agreements for these projects are for, you know, essentially recaptures at the higher level of government and higher level of funding for 50 years. So we could fully expect that this project's going to stay senior housing and supportive senior housing for the full 50 years. But again, I just want to have that protection clause in place.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Chair Bartels. That's why I had my hand raised, was to finish my comment, which is yes, the language is being circulated and we fully intend on having that circulated before next Tuesday. So thank you.
Derek, did you want to jump in? You're good, Mr. Jarrettine?
Kevin Hill has a comment.
Okay, yeah. Kevin, go ahead. Nope, you just muted yourself.
Sorry about that. Thank you. I just wanted a point of clarity. Chris, thanks for your comment before. Fully 50% of the 57 units, so 29 will provide permanent supportive housing for formerly homeless seniors, so fully half the project. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So carry. 164, approving execution of a contract for $600,000 for RUPCO. Can I have a motion? Have a motion? Chair Bartels, second?
I'll second it.
Second, Fabiano. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? You're opposed, Ken? This should rock. I couldn't tell whether you were opposed or not. I'm sorry. It's...
didn't hold the vote open. No.
You don't have good service. What we heard was robot voice.
I'm a yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, passes, thank you. 165, establishing capital funding project 629 for ARPA brownfields. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Cahill, okay, yeah. Discussion? Legislator, yes. Hold on, Chair Bartels, and then Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. So I totally support this project. I know Legislator Ronk was an early advocate of this in ARPA discussions, and I, you know, he brought a really important issue to the fore. you know, I just want to state to this committee that, and I've stated it publicly before, I think it's great that we're using ARP funds for it, but I think we need to budget for it regularly. We need to relieve this, do whatever it takes to relieve this list. And so I hope that moving forward in the next budget cycle and the budget cycle after, and until we maintain a clear list, that we are actually budgeting for that. It's critically important.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion to postpone this for a month. There's a property in there that I'm not quite comfortable with. They owe over $10 million in taxes for over 10 years. And I'm in discussion. I've discussed with Deputy Executive Kelly a couple of times about it. I've reached out to our town supervisor to try and get a better understanding of what the situation is. And, you know, quite frankly, it's one of the nicest buildings in town. And I am certainly not aware of any potential contamination on that site. It was never used for anything more than offices and a computer race floor, to my knowledge. I actually worked in that building for a bit. So anyway, Legislator Bartel is there.
You made a motion. I need to get a second. Otherwise, it's going to fail and we'll continue on for the other way. So you get a second.
I'll second it.
All right. So discussion. Chair Bartel.
So, you know, I share Legislator Cahill's concerns about that property. I don't know why I'm echoing, but I don't think that should slow us on in terms of postponing this resolution. This resolution is to do the first phase studies on some of the properties. It's not even going to be all of the properties. So I don't want anything to slow us down on clearing this list. I have strong feelings about that one property, but I think we can move this resolution forward, begin to clear the list, get the phase one studies done, while we're also separately dealing with that property. With all due respect, Legislator Cahill, I absolutely share your concern, but I don't think we should slow this process on other properties in the meantime.
Then Legislator Rock and then Cahill.
Thank you. I share Legislator Bartel's opinion on that. This ARPA funding is specifically to do phase one and phase two assessments to find out if there is contamination, and if so, what kind, which I think might clear up some of Legislator Cahill's questions on the property in question if it were to be done on that property. But I don't think that this resolution ties us to doing that property. It's just one of them listed as a potential that has been left off the tax for potential environmental concerns. So I definitely don't support postponing. I think we should move forward with it. Quite frankly, we do have a dedicated fund for environmental remediation of properties in the tax foreclosure list. We haven't utilized it yet, and there's not a lot of money there, but I would not be opposed to putting money in there yearly.
Thank you. All right. Deputy Executive Kelly, then Legislator Cahill.
Thank you, Chair. I do appreciate Legislator Cahill's comments, and we have been in discussions, as I've had discussions with the chair last week on that property in question in the town of Ulster. I will commit to continuing to do the research and then brief the group back on what our potential options are with that location. I also agree that I think we can do both. We should be doing both, because we do have several dozen properties that we know have a bit more history with in terms of the environmental concerns. And I do think that starting this process, which this plan currently envisions a 2-year process here, will allow us to begin to address the property backlog here while we're doing the research on this other one, which is pretty substantial chunk of those properties that haven't been foreclosed upon. Thank you.
So reading a little bit further in the resolution, I see that each project will be have its own capital project assigned to it. Is that correct? Okay, so with that in mind, I'll withdraw my motion to postpone.
Fabiana, will you withdraw your second?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's see, Fabiana, you had your hand up. Do you want more? Do you have discussion on this, or?
Yeah, no, the only thing I wanted to know is how is the issue of the back taxes going? How will that be addressed?
I'll let the big executive Kelly answer that.
So it really depends on what the ending disposition of the piece of land is. So some of these, and you typically hear anything with petrochemicals, gas stations, they tend to be dirtier. So they may be eligible for different Superfund or brownfield cleanup programs and wouldn't be quite ready to, you know, say, here's the phase one, phase two investigation, and we're going to put it out for auction with that investigation piece done. Or if the assessment it is not as bad, we can, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, but if the phase one and phase two come back and there are environmental concerns, we can at least disclose that when we're auctioning off the property. In terms of what we recoup on the back taxes, that's what we get at the auction. So whatever we sell the property for, that's the portion of which we'll get back on our taxes. And in some circumstances, it could exceed. It often doesn't. When you're talking about larger properties with larger debt owed to the county, it's unlikely that we'll recoup that full amount.
Yeah, I don't know as much about this. Maybe it's all in there and I should take a look. But what was the first date? When did this hit 36 months? How long ago did this become that point at which we could take it? And is it still functioning or is it abandoned? Can anybody answer me those two questions?
I guess, well, let's go with Deputy Kelly.
So is this is in regards to the one property, 701 Grand Avenue, I suspect?
The one that Legislator Cahill was speaking to in the town of Ulster, I assume.
So I believe it was approximately, it's 10 years. I'll defer to Commissioner Golnick.
The oldest year of tax is 2012, but it would have been eligible for auction 2015.
Okay. Is it still a functioning business or is it abandoned?
As far as I know, I don't believe it is.
And we believe this long it's been sitting there and we're pretty sure there's environmental issue. Seems odd.
May I?
Legislator Cahill, go ahead.
Yeah. So this is a functioning facility, Legislator Maloney. There's people that work there every day and have been from day one. It's never been in disrepair. It's never been run down. It is an older building, but if you drive by it, it's one of the nicer office buildings in the town of Ulster, quite honestly. So there's discussion that has to be had on that property as far as being considered a brownfield, in my opinion. And that's why, you know, I raised the question at all on this.
Hey, Kelly, you still have your hand up from before, or you have a new? Okay, let's say Maloney.
Why have we waited, especially with questions? That's the main reason that we would wait to act on something like this, right? An environmental perception. Why have we waited this long if there's a fully functioning business that's not paying their taxes and it seems like a building that we shouldn't be necessarily scared of? Why would we have waited this long?
Let's stay around, then Deputy Secretary Kelly.
Thanks. For years back in maybe the like early late 2000s, early 2010s, we were doing what we're doing now, which is what's called a temporary incidence of ownership, where we're given the ability to go onto the property and do the environmental assessment without actually foreclosing on the property. Because once we foreclose on the property, we assume all environmental liability and have to remediate anything that we find or that is found even after the fact. So I want to say that there are environmental concerns at that site, but it was about 10 years ago that Judge Williams stopped allowing us to use the temporary incidence of ownership in order to get onto the properties. And I believe that we're now able to use that again. So, the executive's office can clear up anything that I said that was untrue, but as far as I know, that's what the situation is.
Deputy Secretary Kelly?
Yeah, I also believe that to be true. And what I'm doing now is going back to any correspondence regarding that property with the county attorney's office, with the commissioner of finance, if there are any. I'm just trying to basically do a backtrace on anything on this property. I've had contact with the seller or the leasing agent, who's a local realtor on this, to start to understand the different businesses are in there. Because the reality is if we do take title, it does become, we do end up severing the existing lease agreements. So that's part of the thinking here is when and if we end up performing the action that's within our authority, what are the consequences and how will we properly prepare for those? So we're not going into this situation without a well thought out plan and contingency, especially for those businesses that are currently operating out of there and paying, they're paying their leases, they're paying their rent. So we want to make sure that we think this one through. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we'll be talking about this at the next Ways and Means, but I do think the county needs some real procedures, probably something codified by the legislature as far as an actual policy to ensure that, I mean, you have a building that's fully functioning, looks good for 7 years. I think the commissioner of finance initially suggested that it wasn't functioning a minute ago, but now it is. And you have somebody not paying their taxes, making a lot of money for 7 years, and we may find out doesn't have a lot of environmental issues. That's a failure of everyone in this room on behalf of the taxpayer. I mean, that's a big failure. And you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to wonder about situations like this and whether or not it would have been handled differently depending on who owns it or whatnot. So I really think this is a problem. 7 years, not paying their taxes, making a lot of money, fully functioning building, and may not have environmental problems. We don't have a procedure that we can speak to or show why we made this decision or haven't acted on this. I mean, this is, you know, and it's remnants of some things that happened over at Golden Hill, even though, or a Tech City, even though we do know there were some environmental issues at Tech City, but we have a lot of these other questions on the timing and why not, and continuing to allow someone to make a lot of money and not pay their taxes. But geez Louise, 7 years not paying your taxes and us just not acting on it. And once again, we may find out there's no real environmental issues. And now we're not really given a procedure or any real reasons why, other than who is the person in the county that decided that there might be environmental issues and we're just not going to act on this or collect taxes for years and years and years. Who made that decision? Can anyone tell me?
For another time, though, that's not really relevant.
Always is.
We can have this conversation in next week. But in terms of this resolution, is there any more discussion on this? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? Mr. Fabiano, you're opposed?
I'm in favor.
Favor? Okay, thank you. All righty. 166, establishing capital funding project 632 for a crisis stabilization center purchase of 368 Broadway. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second? Second? Yeah. Legislator Cahill, discussion? Legislator Bronk?
Thanks. I'm going to be a no on this. I've been pretty consistent that the city of Kingston is the wrong place for this facility in order to be able to best serve the county as a whole.
Yeah, Legislator Rock, we're losing you again. All right, we'll go to Legislator Maloney and then we'll come back.
I thought I remember hearing that this wasn't going to be, or am I thinking of a different project, that this was stated that it wasn't going to be in the city of Kingston early on, or am I mistaken, thinking of a different project? But I remember seeing this recently and seeing that city of Kingston and thinking, I might be mistaken. But I happen to agree with Ken.
So, I think you are mistaken, Legislator Maloney, but the thing that we did talk about making certain would not be placed in the city of Kingston is the respite homes, and that those would be placed in other
that
parts.
That is correct.
Of the
county. That's what I'm.
Yeah. And I look forward to that. I think it's important that we site services across the county. In this case, I did get to see the building, and I encourage legislators through Deputy Executive Contreras. Ideally, we'll be scheduling a tour of the building again. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's something we'll all be very proud of.
Rock, did you want to try to, again, you cut off like halfway through what you were saying before.
Yeah, sure. I was just saying that, you know, I've been saying all along that the city of Kingston is the wrong location for this facility if we're going to best serve the residents of the whole county.
Yeah, let's say Rock again, we're losing you.
Of the greater county area, which this administration seems focused on serving best. So my constituents won't be served by this facility.
Any other discussion? I will just say I'm having a hard time with this one myself. I agree with Legislator Ronk, the city of Kingston. Here we are again in the most expensive real estate for commercial real estate in the county is the city of Kingston, pretty much. And it just seems hard to spend this kind of money here. And on top of this, we still do not know what our needs for space is through the entire county. We've got departments who need to be located and expanded, and we just don't know that yet. And to now purchase another place, I struggle with this. Deputy Secretary Kelly?
I just wanted to say that the county passed the policy in October 21, including $3 million for the creation of a crisis stabilization center. And what we're doing as part of this project is executing on $2 million of that for crisis stabilization. I understand the concerns, and they're not falling on deaf ears about trying to spread out and get more services located in other parts of the county. Part of the benefit of having it where we are locating it now is it is a set up medical facility, which will be co-located with other services that are already in existence. So there is a certain synergy that exists with the services where they currently exist that I think come uniquely within this space and within this area. So we do feel very strongly that this is a good price for the building. It is in good shape. It's going to require minimal work. Not that it's not going to require any work, because we are changing the use of it, and it's currently a condoed unit for doctors and medical offices. But we do think that this is a really positive first step in order to execute on the legislature and the executive's mission of creating a crisis stabilization center in Ulster County. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Executive Harris.
Yeah, the only other thing I'll add is, in addition to co-locating other services, we also do want to move the mental health department there if possible. So that's kind of to your point about the need for space for other departments in general. So there's a couple of different reasons why this would work.
In terms of what the Deputy Kelly just said, that the space is medical already, when you say that, you mean it's exam type space, not treatment I'm trying to think of the right word for it. Do you know if it's approved by OMH for this type of use already? Office of Mental Health or State?
I don't believe we sought the approval just yet before we purchased the space for that. I believe we're confident that we'll be able to retrofit and do the construction to meet the need. That's our intention. After touring Dutchess County space and kind of learning from their experience, we look to apply that here.
All right, so you do have at least a model of what it needs to look like in the end, and that's what you're basing on.
Yeah, Dutchess County has had this underway, and I'm sure there's going to be some things that we'd like to do differently and learn from their experience, but certainly they've had experience in a lot of our team, including Joanna and others, have toured their facility as well. So we have a good partner across the river that can help us learn from their successes and kind of pitfalls that they've encountered as well. I think they retooled an old school space, actually, in order to execute on theirs. So the retrofit was different, and they came out with theirs prior to a lot of the state funding and the SOQ or whatever they're calling it statewide when they're looking to actually create these more regionally throughout the state now within this existing state budget.
Yes. In order to get a license, you have to actually be working with a provider to stand up the center, and the provider will then go through the process of applying for a license. Sorry. There was one other thing I wanted to add, but it's escaping me right now.
My question was more around the design of it, and because healthcare design is very specific, there's not a lot of wiggle room into it. The code is very clear, and that's why I'm just saying sometimes, as I found out the hard way, renovation is not cheaper than new construction because of those limitations of the pre-existing condition that's there that it's not easy to change. So that's why I was asking if this, but if you already know what it needs to look like, and you know, I'm trusting that you have at least some experience with, you know, looking at a space and realizing what it can be renovated as, then it sounds like it's a little bit more comforting. But Debbie's here with yours.
Yes, sorry, that's where I was going. To that end, when we toured the Dutchess County facility, a few of the things that they suggested was that it be located on a major road, that there be a separate entrance, that it be on the first floor, those types of things, that there be room for a bathroom facility near the front door, that kind of thing. So we were looking at all those possibilities when we went through the building.
Thank you. Chair Bertels?
Thanks. This is a technical question. I just want to make sure because that we read the resolution right, because the resolution was amended. And I don't know if our agenda has the title as amended. It's in the OneDrive amended, but just that it's funding a different capital project number than what the agenda had stated. I don't recall what was read, but I think it might have been establishing and funding capital project 632, but that was changed.
Legislative Cahill?
Yeah, it's 598 now. Capital project 598.
Yeah, and it's in the OneDrive that way. It's just, I don't know that the agenda was changed to reflect that. So I just want to make sure that the record is correct in reflecting the change.
Yeah, my agenda is 632, so 598. Okay.
Yeah, it's funding it, and it's the purchase of, yeah. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to be a yes tonight.
Yeah, so no.
You're a no. All right. I'll be a yes, but I'm likely to be a no on the floor, but we'll see next week. So. All right. So we have four. Sorry. So the motion is carried. 168, authorizing one-time reimbursement to the county for 2021 real property taxes. Could I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Senator Papiano, all right, discussion. Senator Maloney?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even had a chance to talk about this, and it's obviously a starting point. So I was going to ask that this be postponed after I make a quick comment or two. I realize that the budget is a living organism, and just because it says, you know, we're up on sales tax doesn't mean we actually have access to exactly 34 million. I would like to, you know, take a look at, you know, if we're off by 8, 10, 12 or something, I would like to look at what drove that. What were we down on? What were we up on in the budget? And I think that'd be a healthy conversation to have as far as, you know, was it overtime in the jail? Where is that money going throughout the year? But, if we did, I would just like to remind everybody of a couple things. If we did have a time machine and went back and hit the sales tax number perfectly, we would have taxed our property tax owners, our homeowners, $34 million less. It really is their money. But I understand there is no such thing. And we're now sitting on a decent lump sum of money, whether it's $34 million or not. I think you're going to talk in a minute, maybe the next resolution, about a gas tax. I'll remind everyone, heating bills and fuel oil, all those things are going up too. And this could be an opportunity to send some money back. You know, the same idea. I spoke to Chris about it. the same idea that the approach we're having, trying to alleviate some of the pain of this inflation and these fuel costs by, you know, teaming up with the, you know, it looks like the sponsors of this next resolution you're going to be talking about, or might be teaming up with the state to take a quarter off the overall gallon of gas. That's a conversation that you all are going to have. And I know there's different points of view on that. But it's the same theory that we could be sending a legitimate amount of money back at a tough time, money that is theirs, to counteract that. It doesn't have to be the whole thing. So that's what I look forward to talking to everybody about. I had talked to Ken. He thought 20 or 30% was an appropriate number to talk about. So I look forward to talking in caucus with everybody about that. And so I will ask for a postponement or no action right now. To go over all those things in caucus and see if there is 12 or more legislators that really want to have a serious conversation about sending some of that money back for a lot of different reasons back to the homeowners.
Any other discussion? I actually agree with the postponement, not for the reasons that Legislative Maloney said, but I actually would like to postpone myself. Otherwise, I will be a no tonight on this. I'll make a motion to postpone it to next week. Second, Chair Bartels. All right, thank you. Any discussion on postponement? All those in favor? Opposed? You're opposed, Legislative Fabiano?
Yes.
All right, if you oppose, then we go back to the original motion, which I'm going to vote against, and it's going to go vote down completely.
I support the postponement.
Three is enough.
I'm sorry?
Three is enough.
So we had to have four with Chair Bartels present.
Only if every committee member is present, which is not the case tonight.
Oh, we lost Ken. All right, I didn't.
So I'm a yes on postponement. I don't know if you got that.
Okay, Charlie. Yes. Yep. Yes, I got you. I just didn't flash here. All right, so all those in favor is vote to postpone. Everybody's in favor now. Thank you. Opposed. All right. So we'll postpone to next week. Thank you. 169, electing a cent percent per gallon rate of sales and compensating tax on motor fuel and diesel motor fuel. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, motion. Second. Legislator Cahill, discussion. Chair Bartels.
So, you know, I do not know what that was. I'd like to ask for a week's postponement on this too. I'm interested in talking about this in caucus and hearing what colleagues have to say. That's not to say that if there are members that want to talk about it here, I'm certainly open to hearing people's thoughts on it. You know, I've had one-on-one conversations. I have serious concerns about this. You know, I'd like the week to be able to talk to the caucus and talk to other members about it.
Second for postponement.
Unless someone else wants to speak on it before I make the motion. Okay, so then I'll make a motion to postpone for a week.
Second. I'll second it. Discussion on it? All those in favor of postponing to next week?
Since I know that there are members here who want this to pass, if we vote on this today, it's similar to the last, if we vote on this today, I'm definitely a no. So I don't know where that will, I don't know where that will shake out in terms of it passing or failing on its merits today.
I'd be a no as well tonight. So you can fail. Legislator Cahill?
Yeah. So, I mean, are we saying that if we don't postpone it, it's a done deal here? And you won't support it then, or are you saying that you won't support it, you know, if we postpone it anyway? I mean, you've already voiced your opinion that you're against it. And so I'm wondering if a postponement will make much of a difference in this time, in a week. Just a question.
Who voiced their opinion that they're against it?
Chair Bartels did.
Okay. I just want to clarify who you're referring to. Yeah. Sorry. Chair Bartels.
Yeah, I mean, I have had a conversation with Legislator Cahill about it, and I have had individual conversations, but I have not had a conversation with the caucus as a whole, nor have I had, you know, conversations with any of the minority caucus on this, although I know as sponsors that you're supportive. I would like the opportunity to talk to the caucus about it. Certainly, if we have to vote on it today, I'm a no. It's very possible that I'll be a no next week. But if we vote on it today, it fails on my vote. So I'm not sure that that's what you want to happen. This is a serious consideration. It's foregoing millions of dollars in revenue, which may or may not have the implications that we intend. And I think it's worthy of a further conversation, but we're talking about a week. If you don't want to afford the week, I'm ready to vote on it today. That's fine. I still want to talk about it in caucus.
I'm a little concerned about the threats. So that right there in itself, I don't like to be threatened. So I am definitely going to be a no on a postponement.
I'll let Chair Bartelt go first. Okay.
Legislator Fabiano, I'm certainly not threatening. Legislator Cahill asked me why postpone if I'm going to be a no in a week. And I'm asking for the week because I haven't had a chance to talk to anyone in the caucus about this. We have not had a bigger discussion about that. That's not a threat. He asked me where I stand. At the moment, I'm a no on this. So it's likely I'll be a no next week. That's all I'm saying. To be fully, fully open and honest, it's likely I'll be a no next week. That's not a threat. It's just me saying where I stand. But I do want to hear where the caucus stands, and I would like to talk to the minority members about this as well. It's not a threat. It's just an answer to the question of where I'm at with this.
Kelly, and then
I didn't necessarily take that as a threat either, but sometimes it is frustrating to hear that. But I didn't take it as a threat. But I think we should caucus more. I've said that before, especially and one thing, even if we're not, it feels to me like we need to caucus more because we haven't been in person. And I think something like this does need to be discussed. I'd hate to see you kill it in committee, even though with the low threshold for a petition to discharge, I don't think this is done. And I think it'll be on the floor irregardless. But when we could still do this next week, let's talk about this in caucus. And I'm somebody that doesn't feel strongly either way yet. I've heard both arguments and appreciate both sides, but I'd hate to see this go down the road of having to be a petition to discharge. I'd like to see some healthy debate and conversation and give people a chance to win it, to get to that 12 votes. But I'd like to see it postponed and let's give us a chance to debate and discuss properly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just say that the county executive is fully in support of this. We do think it's important that where we have legal authority and strong finances to support giving relief to people that desperately need it. I think inflation, another 8.5% number, March over March, year to year, just came out this morning. So it's not abating. So the economic and kind of monetary policy measures are not having the instant impact. The state just spoke emphatically, and they're reducing 16 cents of their share per gallon. I think if we step in and are able to do our part, while it may seem small, it ends up being on about $4. We're talking 21 cents per gallon savings. It's also us looking at our current financial situation and saying we are benefiting in enhanced sales tax revenue due to inflation and increasing prices at the pump. I think it's important to tell our citizens that we're not going to take that enhanced revenue for a fixed period of time. And this is something I've talked about with the sponsor, is where we feel strongly, and hopefully through this dialogue, we will get this down to a two-quarter period where we'd be able to revisit and see where we are at the end of this year. I think with our sales tax numbers, even this year, current to date, we are experiencing approximately 27% over last year at this point. So last year was our largest kind of year in terms of collecting sales tax. We are still above that number even last year. We have the legal mechanism. I think that it's important that we do this. And I also think showing unity with a lot of the different state leaders who have already executed on this will have a larger impact for the residents. So I do look forward to continuing this discussion. I know the county executive does as well. So if the sponsors are all right with it and everybody's okay, we're happy to continue the discussion. I don't think it has to end today. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, legislator Nolan, then Ronk, then Maloney, and then, I'm sorry, then Kayle.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gavaris. I would ask for support for the postponement. I think there are complicated issues here. I do support this resolution because of many of the reasons that Deputy Director Kelly just mentioned. And I think that a little time to share understanding about the benefits and the liabilities of proceeding in this way could be very helpful. And a week's postponement just gives time for that conversation. So I would ask for support for the postponement and some healthy dialogue among all the members who feel strongly or have positions on this.
Thank you. Actually, I forgot. Legislator Cahill's had his hand up before, so I'll go to Legislator Cahill, then Ronk, then...
Thank you. You know what? I'll support postponement because I think that there'll be enough support in the legislature to support this because the people that I speak with, they're worried about today and tomorrow and the week after that. They're not so much worried about long-term things at this point. I mean, they go to the grocery store, their groceries are 15 or 20% more than they were a year ago. They pull up to the gas pump and it's 45 or 50% more than it was a year ago. And, you know, I'll just say very plainly, you know, it's one topic that I hear about quite regularly, you know, and we have an opportunity here with what Deputy Executive Kelly referred to. We're flush with cash, right? We had a $34 million surplus and we're going to get more this year. And talking about relieving $3 or $4 million, or even if it's $5 million, whatever it is, for the taxpayers not having to pay that out of their pocket when they really need it most right now, I just think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I'll vote for postponement, but I honest to goodness think that there's enough legislators that are hearing what I'm hearing from my constituents that it's getting to a point where it's unbearable, and they need a break. And if there are negative ramifications to this, well, you know what? We have to weigh the good with the bad. And at this point, I'm very confident that the benefit of relieving taxpayers of a few bucks a week putting their gas in will benefit them more than any of the impacts. Thank you.
Thanks. I mean, you know, I agree with everything that Legislator Cahill just said, everything that Deputy Executive Kelly said, much of what Legislator Nolan said.
Left the
trigger
rock again. Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things to talk about. Obviously, I think we need to talk about, and maybe that's in there, and I don't know, but the thruway stops, I think we have three of them, which is a lot. But that's got to be talked about. And I think we need to have an honest conversation about how we look at this. This isn't just every penny we take off of this is not necessarily getting to the gas pump. And there are plenty of people that are filling up in Ulster. It's not all Ulster County residents, but, you know, you're talking about a crafty group of businessmen and women that aren't necessarily. And there's a lot of literature out there and a lot of reports out there about, you know, half of this money being put in the pockets of the gas station owners, something that we have to at least be aware of. So let's not all be just celebrating the fact that we're going to lower everybody's a gallon of gas by 25 cents, because in all honesty, we probably won't. I've discussed this with Chris about ways of maybe, you know, figuring out a way. I mean, if we could, you know, I hate putting businesses and featuring businesses, but looking into maybe putting out there using the county social media, if this passes, to put out the best gas prices in the county to kind of hold them accountable to make sure they do that. But that's got to be part of the conversation. And let's not kid ourselves, you know, that it's not all this money that we're giving off is not necessarily going in the pockets of the Ulster County taxpayer like it would if we just sent the homeowners a check. I think that'd be a much cleaner way to ensure that at least a lot of county residents are getting help. But and I think that needs to be part of the conversation. But it's not as cut and dry as just high five and that we're getting a quarter off a gallon of gas. And let's make sure if we do this, that we definitely talk about the throughway stops as well. But it's not as straightforward as we want to say.
Let's get Rocky. You want to try again, or it looks like he's frozen anyway. Chair Partell, and then.
Thank you. Yeah, I share some of the concerns that Legislator Maloney just brought up. Those are some of the things that I want to talk about. I'm also concerned that this was reported.
Can you hear me, Legislator Harris?
No, you're very broken.
This was reported that this was a holiday on the tax, and what I think's before us is a permanent change. At least at this moment, there is no end date on this resolution. It's a permanent change, so that's a concern of mine as well. And also, the really understanding the financial impacts or lack thereof. So those are all things that I want to talk further about.
Thank you, Chair. So I just want to, I think we have to start thinking about this differently in terms of what's passed down. So the fact that we don't set item pricing at a state or local level on any goods, especially with these goods, means that we can never determine what that is going to be at any given moment. So we don't control the economy in that way. But what we can say is to that consumer, between our effort and what the state has already passed and put forward, is we are not going to collect that 21, 22 cents per gallon from that person in addition to what they're already paying. So what we're saying is we're not going to add to that pain that they're feeling. We're not going to add to the increased cost that they're experiencing at the pump. Now, to Legislator Maloney's point, it is an uncomfortable position to, since there's not a lot of legal mechanisms that have surfaced just yet, I'm looking at some state budget language and talking to both legislative council and our own about strengthening that. We'll be talking to the Attorney General's office about potentials for enforcement or Department of Taxation and Finance. But when you're talking about the market and the market sets the prices for these things, if somebody does on one side of the street reduce it by the 21, 22 cents estimated at $4 a gallon, and the station across the street doesn't, that is where the market steps in and determines who's going to get that business. And that is what happens whether you relieve the tax or not. We're saying with the state, with the locals, and even the federal representative, Congressman Delgado, is saying we need to do something on the federal level. We can temporarily do this. I have expressed to the sponsors on this that the county executive feels very strongly that we do need to make this a temporary window to reflect the unique moment that we're in. There's a lot of different extraordinary monetary policy efforts being made in order to increase interest rates to begin to bring down pricing. Those take time to have an effect. This is one of those hopefully more instant pressure relief valves for the individual consumers. When it comes to the throughway, when it comes to charging different taxes for different levels of petroleum, we don't have the authority or the structure in place to do that or to be exclusionary and setting up different taxation zones in different areas of the county. I think the fact that the state did this, I think that the fact that Dutchess County is currently going through this, it gives us some parity. So I don't feel like, I don't know, they're going to come to the thruway in Ulster County just to benefit from what we've done. They're going to be experiencing it statewide anyway, to a large effect. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right, so talking about again postponement, I'll ask again, all those in favor of postponing to next week?
Aye.
That was a big clear. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed. All right, so. And it's not on now, so this passes. So it's postponed until next week. All right, thank you. 173, confirming appointment of Tara McDonald as the Commissioner of Health. Can I have a motion? Chair Patel, second. Can I have a second? Mr. Cahill, discussion? all those in favor? Opposed? Aye. So carried, thank you. Approving the execution of a contract for $120,600 for Creighton Manning Engineering. Can I have a motion? Chair Patel, second. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You're opposed, Alicia Cahill? No. Okay. Thank you. 177, approving execution of a contract amendment for $234, causing aggregate to be in excess of $50,000 for Nikon Co. Can I have a motion? Chair Patel, second. Alicia Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 179, establishing capital project 628, the Galeyville replacement bridge. Motion. Chair Bartel, second. Second. Fabiano, thank you. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, are you opposed or you're... Okay. Thank you. 181, approving execution contract for $99,720 for Creighton Manning for Public Works. Have a motion. Chair Bartel, second. Second. What's that? The Federal Legislature Cahill, second. Thank you. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you. 182, approving the execution of a contract for $150,000 for Town and Country Bridge and Rail. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second. Legislator Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. Thank you. 183, approving the execution of a contract for $80,700 for CNS engineers. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
And Chair Bartel, second. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 185, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $286,314 for United Way of Wilster County. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Aye. So carried. Thank you. 186, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $100,000 for United Way of Wilster County. Can I have a motion? Chair Cahill, second. Chair Bartels, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 187, approving the execution of a approving and executing a 10-year collective bargaining agreement September 2019 through August 31st of 2029 for SUNY faculty. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Second, Senator Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Approving resolution 188, authorizing the chair to execute a payment of taxes for West Shore LLC. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Wait a second.
Second.
Fabiano, thank you. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. 190, authorizing chair to enter into an agreement with the Department of Justice for asset forfeiture. Can I have a motion? Legislator Cahill, second. Fabiano, discussion? Legislator Chair Bartels.
I'm going to be a no on this. You know, I have a record of voting in opposition to our agreement as it relates to civil asset forfeiture. You know, the agreement with the federal government is in some ways a workaround from stricter state regulations that exist. I'm on the record in terms of my opposition to civil asset forfeiture. So I'm going to be a protest no.
Sure. Yes. Good evening, Mr. Chair. Good evening, everyone. This resolution is strictly to authorize the chair in agreement with the Department of Justice for reporting of asset forfeitures through the asset forfeiture e-share access. And this has to be in consultation with the county attorney and the chair of the legislature. That's the purpose of the resolution.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect that it's going to pass, and I certainly, in my capacity as chair, will go ahead and sign when it does. It's a protest vote.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed. Chair protest. Thank you. 191. Approving exchanges of contract for $588,533.58 for Axon Enterprises. Can I have a motion? Chair Martell, second. Cahill, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. Sheriff, is he still here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I am.
Did they give you a time frame of how long it would take once approved?
They did not. We're waiting for this to get approved, and once we can send them an approval, they'll give us a timeline.
Okay, I'm just curious how long it would take to actually deliver in the that are. Deputies have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then 192, approving exclusive contract for $985,163 for Black Creek. Can I have a motion?
I move it.
Cahill, second. Fabiano, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 193, amending the 2022 county budget to accept allocation of funds from New York State Office of Children and Family Services. Can I have a motion?
I move
it. Second, Fabiano. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 194. Approving the exchange contract amendment for $601,140.04 for New York State Technology Enterprise Corporation. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel. Second, Cahill. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 197, authorizing the chair to sign agreements with various school districts for police equipment and material. Can I have a motion? I'm sorry, polling equipment and materials. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel, second. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Opposed?
So carried. Thank you. 201, increasing the employee contribution towards cost of health insurance benefits for new hire management non-union employees. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, Legislator Cahill, seconds. Discussion? Legislator Maloney?
I mean, we haven't had a chance to talk about this either. I'll ask for a postponement. This is something that I started this conversation a couple of terms ago, and we ended up settling on elected officials being at 20%, which I feel very good at. I had a legislator at the time debating in caucus saying, I will never vote to raise healthcare premiums on anyone in this county. And I said, well, have you voted no on all the union contracts over the last 10 years? And they said, no. I said, well, then you voted yes on raising the healthcare premiums on the rank and file of the county. There is a big savings there, healthcare costs are rising. And that's never going to stop. It's a reality we have to deal with. We have to think about retirement and when they, when you retire, the gift that keeps on giving. And I just think that we're going these days higher and higher and higher. And I think it won't be long before we're asking some of our unions to then go to 25%. My wife has worked in the county for over 10 years. So when she got hired, that was at a 15%. So she's at 15% forevermore. We will, as a family, an open enrollment being going on, I'll be taking the insurance. So we'll be going to 20% so I can walk the walk. I truly believe the entire county should have a conversation. I know there's a lot of unions involved, and I don't know if you could ever retroactively go back and have them agree to do that. But the healthcare costs in this nation and where we're going, I think 10%. Is just too low, and it's not fair, especially considering that with regards to management, everyone working under you, the rank and file, who's making half of what you're making, is paying twice in healthcare premiums. And it just seems fair, equitable, good government, and also, a good sense on behalf of the taxpayer to go to 20%. We're getting great healthcare. It's fair to be at 20%. if this was to pass, everybody that was already hired at a certain salary, that their rate went along with that, they would stay. No, it would be about new hires. We'd have to think about that. You know, we just put somebody in charge of the budget, making $115,000 a year. They're paying 10% towards their healthcare premiums, while the people under them are paying 20. I really feel like this is the right thing to do. It makes sense on a lot of different levels. And I look forward to talking to a new batch of legislators in caucus. So I would ask for a postponement so that we can do that and see if there's 12 people that agree this time around. We did do elected officials last time around, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Juan's paying 20% towards his health care. Everybody in the jail is paying 20% towards their health care with the new. I don't think you mind paying the same as the men and women that are under you. You know,
I agree, but I don't pay anything. I'm a retired state employee.
Yes, you may not take the health care, but you know what I'm saying. The point stands. Thank you, Juan. Thank you.
Everybody else?
I do agree with you.
Thank you. Sorry, I was having a moment unmuting. So I think it's a worthy conversation. It's a conversation I do think that we should include as a part of the salary conversation, like the whole big picture. And also in anticipation of that conversation, I would love to see in one document an analysis, a breakdown of what every class of employee is paying across the organization, because that would just help me. And I'm sure that's relatively easy. So I don't know who I'm asking for
Amber,
that.
We have that, right? I've had that before.
If we could circulate maybe that to everyone as well. But once Deputy Exec Kelly speaks, I'll be happy to make the motion postpone and look forward to having this conversation as part of the bigger conversation as well.
Thank you, Chair. I think continuing the conversation is a good idea. I do want to just, as part of that conversation, I want us to be conscious that I think that the other elected officials, when trying to recruit and hire management positions, would agree that it's becoming harder. It's not becoming easier. And we're in competition for, if you're looking for bachelor's, master's degree level people to meet the qualifications of the positions we're hiring for, we're in direct competition with the private sector. I just got off a workforce development board meeting with OET, BOCES, and a lot of the different private employers. They're struggling mightily too. So it's not that I mean, it's certainly always a worthy conversation to have, but I think we need to look at the whole package and not just the one piece to achieve parity between management and CSEA. There are certain requirements and there are certain parts of work where management is required to do things with no overtime. They are capped on their comp time at 35 hours. We do have union employees that have leapfrogged their management. And this has happened in the comptroller's office. This has happened in other places throughout the county. So I just want to be mindful that we don't just look at this narrowly at the one part of compensation package given to employees, and hopefully look at the whole picture as we're comparing salaries and as close as we can with other counties in the region and other similar size budgets, apples to apples, as close as we can get, and make sure that we right size the approach. Thank you.
Yep. I said, Lonnie.
I'm all for that. And I think that if once we see this salary study, we'll find that there are people that are underpaid and overpaid. And I still think that equity when it comes to healthcare premiums, you know, you can still deal with that with salary if that's the case. But I don't think a lot of people are asking about the you know, are going to be hung up on the difference between 10 and 20%. I'll just remind you that it is hard to hire. We've had a hard time not losing DPW workers. We got a hard time hiring people to go into that jail. And last I checked, I don't think we've ever taken an accountant recently out on a stretcher or anything else like we have over at that jail. And I think they're largely underpaid. Talent is talent. And I heard Mark Ryder say that a couple of years ago, and it was quite offensive. It's going to be hard to find talent. You know, union workers are talented too. So I think it's a good conversation to have, and I think we should keep it all in mind. And when you're hiring people and figuring out salaries, keep that in mind. If we do go to 20%, that it's at 20%, and we can make that up with salary if we really need to. Though I do think there's a lot of salaries. There's some professionals in the county that wouldn't make it in the private, wouldn't make the money they're making in the, that they're making in the county, in the private sector in Ulster County. So, and I think we got to keep that in mind, but we have this salary study hopefully coming down the line eventually, and it will take all these things into account.
All right, Deborah, tells you, you want to make that motion then?
I will. I'll move to postpone a week.
All right, second?
I'll second it.
Ms. Capiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 203, approving execution of a contract amendment for $23,480 for Environmental Systems Research Institute. Can I have a motion? Mr. Cahill, second. Mr. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 204, approving issues of contract for $1,374,864 for LA Dell Marketing. Can I have a motion? Sarah Bartels, second. Leslie Cale, second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 205, approving issues of a contract amendment for $14,362, causing the aggregate to be over $50,000 for Tracker Software Corporation. Can I have a motion? Legislator Cahill, second. Legislator Fabiano, second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. 206, approving issues of a contract amendment for $55,200 for capital market advisors. This is the final year of the agreement that we can renew one more year. So ask for a motion to extend for the year. Martel, second. Yeah. Second by Cale. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 207, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned properties to original owners. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 208, approving a memorandum of agreement between the county and the deputy sheriff's PBA. Can I have a motion? Legislator Fabiano, second by Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 210, amending 2022 county budget to include additional funding from your state office of aging. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Cahill, discussion? Discussion? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 211, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $30,000, causing aggregate to be $50,000 for Family Home Health Care. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Did you skip over 209?
Nope. 209 is not on my agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Apologize.
Am I missing agenda? No. Okay. Thank you. 212, approving exclusive contract amendment for $150,000 for Gateway Community Industries. Can I have a motion? Mr. Cahill, second. Chair Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Just clarifying, Cahill and Fabiano, you are a yes?
I'm a yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. 213, approving exclusive contract amendment for $68,551.58 for Samadhi Center. Chair Bartels, second. Legislator Cahill, discussion? Legislator Cahill?
Yes, thank you. I just want to take a moment and commend Deputy Executive Contreras for bearing with me through my pestering her for more information on this project. I've raised questions about it being moved to where it was moved initially, and every question that I asked Deputy Contreras facilitated that answer and got it back to me in a very rapid response time to my satisfaction and gave me the opportunity to discuss with my constituents who have called me about this project, what Sahadi's going to do there, Samadi, I'm sorry, is going to do there for the questions that they raised. And again, I just want to take a moment and thank Deputy Executive Contreras for helping me and working with me on that. Thank you.
In favor? Opposed? No carried. 214, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rate in the state of exceed $50,000 for Westchester County Health Corporation. We have a motion. Chair Bartels, second. Mr. Cahill, discussion? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, thank you. 215, approving the execution of a contract for $150,000 for supports for living. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel, second. Commissioner Cahill, second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Mr. Fabiano, you're in favor?
In favor, sir, yes.
Thank you, okay. 216, approving the execution of contract amendment for $42,192 for Aster Services. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel, second. Commissioner Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 217, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $42,192, closing the aggregate to be over $50,000 for Family Woodstock. Can I have a motion? Senator Fabiano, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 218, amendment 22 county budget to accept allocation for workforce grant funds from Office of Mental Health. Can I have a motion? Senator Fabiano, second. The Chair to Partel's discussion? All those in favor? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 219, amending the 2022 capital county budget to accept allocation for Children and Family Services. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Commissioner Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 220, authorizing the chair to execute an interdisciplinary agreement with the school, New Paltz School District for pre-K special education transportation services. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Commissioner Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 221 through 224, can I have a motion to block those? They're all foster care contracts.
I'll move it to block them.
Block. Okay. Second. Mr. Cahill. Discussion? Mr. Cahill.
Yeah, aren't there a group more? Aren't there a bunch more?
221 yeah. through 244.
Oh, 44. I'm sorry. I think it's 24. Thank you. Yes.
No, 244.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Can everybody else do the same thing? Okay. Thank you. All right. All those in favor, block? I oppose. Thank you. All right. On the block. All in favor? Opposed? All right. Thank you. We're getting there. 245. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $270,508 for Finley Woodstock. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, second. Senator Fabiano. All the discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you. All righty. We have some forthcoming resolutions. We're going to have 161, 167, 189, and 209. Is there any new business? Comptroller Gallagher?
Thank you very much, Chair Guevara. I wanted to share with the Ways and Means Committee members and others here today the findings from our audit of Ulster County's compliance with its investment policy. And I'll just give a brief overview, but we found that Ulster County could definitely better analyze alternative investment opportunities, maximizing revenues and diversifying our investments. If we had done so over the last 3 years, it would have resulted in at least $650,000 in additional revenues to the county. The audit assumed that we keep a base level of $88.4 million in checking. So it's not like we're dipping into money that we're going to need for cash flow. We in the county lack written procedures for how we go about making our investments. Our annual investment reports and list of depository institutions that should have been generated and approved by the executive was not approved by the executive. But in addition to that, there is some responsibility on the legislature, which should be reviewing the investment policy annually under general municipal law. So we look forward to bringing potentially a revised policy forward for you to look at. An appropriate investment policy and procedures would include consideration of things like our future cash flows, identifications of funds available for investment, and review of alternative investment strategies. With investable funds of this size, we should be rebalancing the portfolio regularly, at least quarterly, if not monthly. The Department of Finance and the Commissioner did move $70 million after the audit to a deposit plus account that has higher earnings. Let me just stop and say our checking account does have interest. So it's not like we were not earning anything. And that new deposit account has earnings of 25 basis points. And it has since April 4th, when it was opened, earned $3,831.17. However, there are a number of other investment opportunities that could yield even more returns. And these actions, the moving of the money, indicate that we could have been investing more strategically. So we really urge you to require more frequent and active review of the county's available funds for investment. For example, what we looked at during our audit was New York Class. We chose that investment vehicle because it had returns back to 2019 that we could look at. That is currently earning 25.36 basis points, a little bit higher than what we're in. But New York Class Prime, which is a new vehicle that allows a broader range of investments, which New York state law opened up to counties recently by expanding our investment opportunities, is 49 basis points. And Metropolitan Commercial, which is another vendor, is 45 basis points. The point is just that while we're sitting with these large sums of money, we should be investing them more strategically. It doesn't mean you won't be able to move them. It doesn't mean you won't have liquid access to those funds if needed. And let me just also say that to the extent that the investment policy, the way it is drafted, is hampering us in earning more money for the taxpayer, let us change the policy. We don't have to live with a bad policy. We should fix it. We should make it work for us, make it do something we want. We are not talking about eliminating the requirement that we have a main depository institution within the borders of Ulster County. So I look forward to, you know, any questions you guys might have right now or in follow-up with me, please feel free to reach out. But we're hoping to come forward with a policy revision that will, you know, meet everybody's needs. Thanks.
Thank you. Chair Bytels.
I just want to thank the comptroller and her office for their report and look forward to the recommendations and working through this committee with the commissioner of finance potentially to make some updates to that investment policy. I'm not sure the last time that was done in the legislature, but I take the criticism of the legislature seriously. And I think it's warranted. I think we do have to take a good look at this policy and be ready to make revisions where needed.
Thank you. Chair Figueroa, did you have your?
Yes. Good evening again, everyone. In regards to forthcoming resolutions, I've been in contact with Legislator Maloney and Legislator Petit in regards to resolution number 189. And I understand the intent. I don't think anyone wants to make money on folks that are indigent from other counties, but there has to be a flexibility that we're going to discuss regarding public safety and emergencies that may be needed in time of emergency or the sheriff's office. Just so everybody knows, we only have five board-ins from Greene County right now, and those are because the Greene County Jail has not been authorized to have female prisoners in their facility at this point. But since I've been in office, it's not my intent to bring in board-ins, although I did bring in board-ins when the future was bleak, when the pandemic started. We didn't know where the coffers were going to be in regards to the county budget. But I'm looking forward to working with the legislature to come up with a resolution that will satisfy all of our needs. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? All right. If not, ask for a motion to adjourn. Before we do, though, just next week, we're going to have the meeting start at 5. We didn't postpone as many as I thought tonight. So I was tossing the idea of whether 4:30 or 5. So we're going to go with 5 next week. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
Move it.
Mr. Gale, second Fabiano. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all.